If you live in San Francisco, you've got local elections coming up next month. So are you planning on voting? Last year, only about a third of eligible San Franciscans made it out to the polls. This year, you might want to. The ballot is full of proposals for dealing with the city's number one issue, housing. And decisions in San Francisco will have big consequences for the housing situation for the greater Bay Area. There's a lot of money at stake and a lot of neighborhoods going through changes. Reporter Liza Veal has been covering housing issues for us, and she joins me in studio now to talk about what's on that ballot. Hey, Liza.
Hi.
So I know you want to talk in depth about Prop I. But first, can you debrief us on some of the other housing measures on the ballot? I know there's the Airbnb one.
Yeah, that's Prop F, which is about stronger regulations for short-term rentals. Actually, Rose Aguilar just had a big debate on it this week on Your Call. Mm-hmm. You can find that on our website. And I'm going to have a report on Cross Currents next week about that. Super controversial. We've also covered Prop D, which, if passed, would authorize raising height limits to allow for this big mixed-use development called, it's a project called Mission Rock.
Okay, and there's also the big bond.
Yeah, Prop A, which is a $310 million bond to pay for affordable housing. Mm. A big deal coalition came together for this one. All the supervisors endorsed it. The voters passed a plan, Proposition K, last year to provide more housing at all income levels. So basically this bond is a way to finance that plan. Then there's this year's Prop K, which gives affordable housing developers the first shot when the city is selling or leasing unused public sites.
So, like, what kind of public sites?
Things like parking lots, unused buildings. There are trade-offs, though, because some people think that the city benefits more, like, in terms of tax revenue when they build big towers, which Prop K might block.
Okay, so just to recap, there's that one, the Airbnb one, Mission Rock, the bond. Then there's Prop I, the Mission Moratorium. And that's a pretty big deal right now. So tell us more about it.
Yeah. So the Mission Moratorium, it comes from this idea that the housing market is just out of control. Like, we need a timeout. So the proposal is to put a year and a half long pause on all market rate development in this one neighborhood, the Mission, which is changing super fast, and just to take that time to focus on nothing but affordable housing.
So affordable here, and that means subsidized by city money and market rate.
Market rate just means like everything else that's not subsidized. And market rate in the Mission is so high that basically only the super rich can afford it. I mean, the numbers are, in order to afford the payments on a one-bedroom condo in the Mission, median price, you need to make four times the area's median income.
So is the basic idea block the super rich developments and then instead of them build more affordable ones?
Well, no. Well, for proponents of the moratorium, the best case scenario is that the 18-month delay will lead some of the developers who already have projects in the pipeline to just sell their land to nonprofit developers and just go find somewhere that's easier to build. But I mean, they might just wait it out. They've already sunk a lot of money into the plans. A lot of people want the city itself to swoop in on the land that's up for grabs and just preserve it for affordable housing. So I talked to Supervisor Scott Weiner, who's leading the opposition to Prop I. Here's what he says about that.
Even if we were to freeze all the development in the Mission right now and say we want to buy up as many parcels as possible, those parcels are astronomically expensive. And the amount of resources it would take for us to buy all of them up would mean that we're not going to be buying parcels in any other neighborhoods in the city, pretty much, when you're talking about $20 million for one parcel of land.
That's Supervisor Scott Weiner. So what does he think we should do then?
Well, he thinks we should just encourage as much building as possible, and then the city should buy land for affordable housing in neighborhoods where it's just less expensive.
Okay. So if the moratorium might not get more affordable housing built, what are the arguments for it anyway?
Well, one argument is that market rate developments are making the affordability crisis worse. They make just the whole neighborhood more of a high rent district. They attract more fancy shops and investors. Landlords can raise rents. So basically slowing the onslaught of luxury developments is just good. This is like the basically the more supply equals more demand argument. Mm-hmm. And it's true that rich people didn't really want to live in the Mission until other rich people did, and now everyone does. But that happened without new buildings. Actually, the most gentrified parts of the Mission are the ones where there's no new construction. So new people just price out and replace people who were there before, basically.
Mm. So I hear this idea that the city can't stop people from moving where they want to move. Is the argument that if you don't build more new housing, then more people just get displaced?
Yeah.
Okay, so can San Francisco really build enough to get ahead of that demand? Don't some people say demand is just infinite? There's always richer and richer people in the world that will want to own property in the city. And that's kind of what happened in Manhattan in New York, right?
Yeah, I mean, people are definitely scared that this is the new Manhattan. It's hard to predict what will happen. There's this new report out of the city controller's office that said, basically, if we were to stop building market rate development indefinitely, which, by the way, nobody is proposing, but just hypothetically, prices would ultimately rise a lot faster than if we keep up building.
Faster than now.
Fast, yes. Mm. So we have to keep building. But it also said, well, A, that 18 months won't really affect the market too much. And that B, we can't actually possibly build enough to actually bring the prices down anymore from where they are now. So in order to bring prices down, what he said, the chief economist said, we'd have to build 100,000 new units. Supervisor David Campos from the Mission, he backs Prop I, and here's what he thinks of that.
We haven't built 100,000 units in the last decades. How are we going to build 100,000 units going forward? So I challenge, you know, the assumption that if all we do is build, and if we don't, it doesn't matter what we build, somehow it will help. I think that I question the assumptions.
So in other words, he says building, or like the market, will never provide homes for working class people. If the city wants to house them, it's going to have to subsidize the cost.
Okay, but aren't private market rate developments already required to include affordable housing in their plans?
Yeah, the city has requirements that developers have to include between a 12 and 20% subsidized affordable, or pay a fee to build them elsewhere. So yeah, the build people, they're not just relying on trickle-down economics. They're saying, this is how we get housing subsidized. Actually, most of the affordable housing being built lately has come out of the pocket of developers. So blocking these luxury plans means blocking the affordable housing that comes with it.
So Prop I would block anything that's not 100% affordable?
Yeah, so we'll be blocking some affordable construction too. But I talked to Peter Cohen from the Council of Community Housing Organizations, and his point is that we don't have to, and actually shouldn't, rely on developers to build affordable housing.
It is essentially an established fact that market rate development generates impacts, and you know, those impacts of gentrification and rising rents and rising costs of housing are partially offset by the 12% worth of affordable housing, but it's not enough to actually fully mitigate the impact. That's the issue on the ground.
Cohen says that the city and the planning department in particular is literally so bogged down with moving through entitlements and permits and the day-to-day grind that there's just no bandwidth for advanced planning or for coming up with different strategies for funding affordable housing. So he thinks the pause on the development that Prop I offers could actually be really productive in terms of big picture planning.
It's certainly the case that part of the questions that are being asked, and certainly what will be looked at during this kind of, you know, timeout period, is whether or not we're getting enough affordable housing from market rate development, and whether or not in combination the city and the private developers are doing enough to mitigate the impact. I mean, all those things are going to be on the table, no question about it.
That was Peter Cohen with the Council of Community Housing Organizations. And with me is reporter Liza Veal talking about Prop I. So, Liza, it sounds like if the moratorium passes, the backers of the proposition will be on the hook to make good use of that time.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that in 18 months the city's going to go land shopping and balance out the whole market, but it does stand up to developers and to politicians. It's like it says, go take a time out and think about what you've done. And I mean, maybe stopping construction is not an end in itself, but it could be a means to doing better planning. So by the end of the moratorium, if it happens, San Franciscans are going to be expecting some better planning.
All right. To explore these issues in more depth, go to KALW.org. We have a lot more ballot coverage there, including more of Liza Veal's coverage of housing issues. Thanks, Liza.